live and local, it's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
You said it, so you started, because I don't know. I was just going to let it go.
I mean, we can't just let that roll and not acknowledge it. Like, first off, I don't want to acknowledge it, but, okay. Okay. That's all I got to say. That's really all I got to say. Stiles and Watkins. 10
it's
to
so
2.
Quiet in here.
It's deafening.
Hey, man.
It is deafening.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do.
Some people need help.
That's right. You got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
That's how Vivek felt when it came to the A's and bringing a pro baseball team, Major League Baseball team, to Sacramento. David Sampson, yeah, we see you on the text line from the 916. That was really good stuff. Yeah, that was outstanding stuff by David, outstanding stuff by Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross. And really, Chris, want to open with the most important part of this, and I think that we've done as good of a job as we could with this part of it. He opened by saying it's okay to feel good about Major League Baseball coming to Sacramento. And yes. I think that above all else, that is a good thing. I just wanted to start with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think it's even hearing somebody else say it, I still think a lot of those Oakland A's fans, still probably won't agree with it. But I do think, if you're just looking at this purely from the Sacramento angle of this, I think that he said it perfectly. I think the quote was, Sacramento is simply taking advantage of the opportunity that it has now, and I think it really is. You know, you could read more malicious things into it if you want, but I think at its core, it is, hey, like, how much, and I think Jason even asked the question, David, you were in those conversations about relocation in the early 2010s. Mm-hmm. Was Sacramento even a thought in those conversations? No, they weren't. They absolutely weren't even in the back of anyone's mind. And, you know, say what you will about Sacramento's chances of getting anything out of this, whether it be the A's or whether it be expansion, this gets their foot in the door. It mm-hmm. gets their name brought up in the conversation, and that's a massive step forward from where they were before. So again, just looking at it without any of the other outside stuff, just simply from the Sacramento perspective, mm-hmm. this is a massive, massive opportunity that they couldn't let slip by just for moral reasons. And you can, I think it's on every individual to figure out if that's morally justified or not. But I think at the end of the day, Sacramento had to look out for itself in this situation. And, I think in about 2 or 3 years, when we're in the thick of all of this, I just feel like that's going to be the prevailing thought is, hey, Sacramento had to do what they had to do, and they either showed out or they didn't. But this was their opportunity to show what they had in store.
Yeah, the other thing, and, you know, we had some callers call in on Friday, and, you know, we maybe disagreed on certain things, but, you know, this is from David Sampson as well, and this is a quote that we heard in the interview. It's not an Oakland problem, and let's be clear, baseball would prefer the team to stay in Oakland.
I don't know about that either.
It really is an expansion problem. The owners are pressuring the commissioner to get to expansion as quickly as possible because of the influx of money that there will be for expansion teams that will be split 30 ways. So they just wanted a resolution.
Yes.
And I guess what he's saying is they would have rather John Fisher not gone in this direction or figured it out
yes.
in Oakland,
yeah.
but Fisher just was refusing to do so. And now you have Vivek coming in saying, hey, I can help this thing along. Yeah. And either it falls through in Vegas and it's just, hey, we're already here. John Fisher would maybe sell it. There's a Sports Illustrated article that we'll talk about in a couple minutes here that talks about what would happen there. But just as far as the expansion piece of this, you know, going into a Vivek versus Laker battle, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I mean, nobody owes anybody anything, and I don't know how much he really put his foot in his mouth by saying what he said. I don't think Vivek probably realized what he was saying. He was just vibing. He was just out there vibing.
He was
flexing hard. Yeah. And you know, some of them jackets that
keeping it real goes wrong.
When keeping it real goes wrong, and now all of a sudden, years later, whenever it is time for the expansion, it might hurt him. And that's what David said as well. Really, what he did, maybe this is the quote from the piece or from the interview, has guaranteed Sacramento won't get an expansion team, because one thing that owners do is keep track of what owners say publicly.
Yes.
It's a fraternity. No, it's a good old boys club.
Arguably the most good old boys club.
Hey, man, you weren't supposed to say all that. I mean, just come on, just play your role. Yeah,
know your role. 100%.
You know your role and know your rank, if you will.
Bench players talking like starters.
And I really, and to be honest, though, whether this happens or not, first of all, you know where I'm at with this. Enjoy this.
Yeah.
Enjoy this. I can't say that enough. And Zach Gelof went off yesterday, by the way. Sure, Home run and a triple. Yeah. Enjoy this for what it is. We have no clue what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next year. But the A's are coming to Sacramento. So fans and non-fans that just want to enjoy something different, enjoy the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. Boom. That's it. But looking forward, from Vivek's perspective, Vivek versus Lacob, I don't know if Major League has the stones to do what they did to Oakland and not let that expansion team go to Oakland. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And obviously it depends on how much they care about how they look to people, their perception of them and things like that. But you're talking about Lacob, and now he's connected to the Warriors and how much the success from the Warriors might bleed into this as well. I don't see how they could say no to Oakland. I mean, I know, you know.
They still need a venue. That's a pretty big hurdle.
But they have it all set up, though. But so
the Coliseum. The
waterfront. So if they say, hey, we're doing the waterfront as it was.
But you got to get that nailed down.
You have to get
there
that nailed down.
Any questions.
But it's waterfront versus, and look, there's other, according to Vivek, there's going to be East and a West, but there's going to be other cities involved in this that all want a crack at this. But, yeah, I mean, what you read last week about Sutter Health and how, based on when it was created and the weather affecting its ability to be built out, if I'm Vivek, you might need to just cash out and try to make this thing as close to a major league ballpark as you can right now.
Yeah, that's what my thought would be.
Because the less you have to do when expansion time comes, the better.
Or, I mean, might not be expansion. It might just be straight up sell. I mean, you know, like expansion, I think is, I mean, expansion feels like it would definitely be in the favor of Oakland just because of the entire situation.
That's what I'm saying.
But if the situation is the pipe dream of Fisher, things fall through in Vegas and he is forced to sell or just does sell in general, I think that's where Vivek has the best chance to improve the ballpark in these next 3 years to get to some base of, because even then, after 3 years, it's not going to be up to major league quality. But at the very least, you can say the bones are here. We've been building this thing up. We just need a couple more things to turn this thing into what it needs to be versus, you know, if you're talking about, if he wants to sell it back to Oakland, are you going to play in the Coliseum? Mm-hmm. Are you going to take now 4 more years to build the waterfront ballpark? And then it becomes the same question of if that were to be the case, where would they play in the interim? Would they go back to the Coliseum? We're kind of getting
ahead of ourselves. Well, we don't know the timeline on when they want the expansion team to happen. Because anywhere the expansion team happens, there would be Vivek's stance. Hey, if you want this thing to happen faster, which we know the owners do for the money, I got a stadium right here and it's up to MLB specs. We just did that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to start from scratch. Whether or not people would say, cool, that's a bit of a Band-Aid, we'd rather just start from scratch, that's up to the owners. How quickly do they want this to be turned around? According to David Sampson, who was on with Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross, pretty darn quickly.
I think they want the money, though, with the expansion. The expansion, like, for the expansion fee, I don't know if Vivek has pockets deep enough for that, to be honest. Like, I know he You know, he got a great deal on the Kings. I think he bought the Kings for $250 million, and that evaluation is now, I believe, in the B's. I believe he's at a bill. But, you know, I'm not trying to do a pocket watching segment
here.
No,
you are.
But I'm pretty sure, you know, Lakers got deeper pockets. And if it does eventually, they want to rush to get to expansion. But once they get to the expansion process, I think they're going to drag that out and try and get bleed these people for as much money as possible, because that's the big check that they are all waiting for. So I think a lot of this has been rushed. I think the no relocation fee in Vegas, the Sacramento just play there to get this situation a bow tied on it. I think all of that is to get to the expansion process. But once they get there, I think they're going to nickel and dime everybody for every single penny they have.
This is from Manfred in 2021, and people are starting. This was just last.
Uh-oh. I'm sure this is juicy.
Manfred said back in 2021 that expansion fees could be in the range of $2.2
billion
per team, based on Sportico's estimated average. You know what I mean? That's how they got there. $2.2 billion. You got that?
You probably have to sell a large portion of his stake in the Kings, and I don't think he would do that.
But you got to think he already knows this, though. He knows this.
I don't think so, yeah.
But I think that's why the play, deep down the play is Vegas falling.
I also wonder, like, and I know Lacob initially, the rumors were, oh, Lacob's going to save the team and keep them in Oakland. Are we sure that Lacob would be a competing offer? Like, is that confirmed?
That he would want to be a part of it?
That him and Vivek wouldn't be. I mean, I don't know. I from what I understand, that relationship isn't awesome, but I wonder if it would be true. Because everyone's trying to frame this at the SI article, and David Sampson kind of presented it as this is only good for baseball because this now creates a bidding war. Well, I mean, I literally don't know, but like, are we sure that
they wouldn't want to go in together?
They wouldn't want to go in together.
It depends on how they view that relationship and Lacob views Vivek. When we return, we will talk you through that Sports Illustrated article and the potential battle. I feel so conflicted here between Sacramento and Oakland. And no, we're not talking Kings and Warriors. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. From QQ on the Sac Chat, SF Giants might have something to say about getting an expansion team in their territory. Basically going on to say how much the Giants helped the A's pull this off. And hey, we don't even know. You can share with the Rivercats and things like that. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know who can block who and what the Giants would be able to prevent, by the way. And Giants-Kings fans out there that might be conflicted on some of this stuff. I mean, the Giants, and I look, man, it's working. I had my first A's fan friend to tell me that I'll probably just root for the Giants now.
I had a friend tell me the same thing this weekend.
Which I just feel like is sad.
Yeah, because it's just like, it feels like just something that you just wouldn't expect any, like, that's how down bad you know they are in an incredibly sad way. Like, I mean, they're besides themselves. And those are the options that they're presented with, is either, hey, I don't want to say sell your soul because it's not that serious, but at the same time, like, part of your identity of being an A's fan is everybody assuming you're a Giants fan and having to say, no, I'm an A's fan. Right. And people saying, why would you do that? They haven't won in X amount of years. It's not the popular team to do. And so for an A's fan to resign that and, again, have it be a part of who you were previously, it's almost like, in a way, I don't think it's as serious, but it's you know, Kings fans becoming Warrior fans. I think it's like Giants fans conceding and becoming Dodger fans if they move. Like, I do think it's close to being that serious for these guys. I think the Astros would probably be the biggest hurdle for them, but I don't think that A's fans becoming Giants fans is that far off of any of those complete polar opposite fan bases.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know,
well, it's either that or nothing.
Well, I have a friend who's a Cubs fan now. Just randomly.
But, like, you know, and that's a fine decision. But, like, ultimately, he goes from being able to have his team in his backyard or whatever, an hour away from being able to watch it, to maybe once a year they'll come play the Giants at Oracle, and if I feel like it, I'll be able to see it. But like, it goes from you have 81 games of availability to four, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's, I mean, that's huge. Like, that is a big shift from somebody who maybe goes to 8 to 10 baseball games a year. I don't know if those people still exist out there casually, but you know, that's a really, really big change in going from I support this team on a daily basis to, yeah, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and if they're in town, maybe I'll make time for it.
Speaking of the A's on the field, they win their first series against a red-hot Tigers team.
Wow.
Taking 2 out of 3, and as we mentioned,
that's your team, Sacramento.
That's right. Get ready. You know, you got to keep up so you know what's going to happen and you got to look forward to.
Could we please not? I'd rather not next
season. That just is what it is. Chris, there's been something else that's going around, and this is from Jason Burke from Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
And basically, it all started, and again, these are all conspiracy theories, but it all started with the fact that with this move to Sacramento, it feels like the Vegas stuff has gotten a lot quieter, right? And we just saw something. There was a poll that came out that Vegas legislation, a lot of them don't agree with the move, right? So this writer, Jason Burke from Sports Illustrated, he's kind of taking things and going to the next level. And now people have conspiracy theories about Fisher not being interested in paying for a ballpark, and he might be putting this thing up for sale, which would be Vivek maybe reading the tea leaves, if you will. So this is what Jason goes on to say. I've been trying to do some quick math with the ballpark project this entire time, and each time I get more confused by Fisher's actions. The current valuation of the A's, based on Forbes, is $1.2 billion. There have been estimates that with a new ballpark, the team could be worth between $2 and $2.5 billion. So if Fisher isn't able to get local investors at the valuation he wants them at, then he'd have to pay for nearly the entire project himself.
Good luck.
The ballpark is estimated at $1.5 billion with $380 million from Nevada and $200 million in debt financing. That leaves nearly $1 billion to be paid from Fisher's family or his own pockets, and that's before any project overruns. So if he pays $1 billion to increase the value of the team by $1 billion, then he's not really making much there, is he?
No.
A lot of this depends on the valuation of the franchise when the project is over and what it ends up costing in full. But generally, there isn't a huge profit to be made here, which could have him second-guessing this whole ballpark thing.
Are you trying to tell me that he didn't think this through? Are you trying to tell me that maybe this process has been a little bit rushed and all the T's haven't been crossed and I's haven't been dotted and all that
stuff? That's what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, first off, that's not super surprising to hear that things maybe not as tied up as what maybe they want us to believe. But no, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Like, and I think Fisher is probably going to and that's going to be interesting too. Is like, is he going to sell, you know, a portion of his percentage of ownership? Is he going to outright sell? I mean, I think the bigger problem too is we just don't know what this man's. What his overall goal is. Like, we know that in the interim, it's get the team to Vegas, which I think is also a ploy of getting the team itself to be more valuable. You know, is he trying to make money out of this? Is he just trying to raise the value before ditching it? I think that it just kind of all ties into what is this guy's plan with any of this.
The article goes on to say that if he did sell, that this would be a different battle between Vivek and Lacob. But based on that timeline, and again, this is all speculation, but based on that timeline, if he puts it up for sale in 6 to 12 months, that would be while they're playing in Sacramento, essentially.
Right.
Right? Because it would be, if it's the 12 month, closer to 12 months than 6 months, or they'd be preparing to play in Sacramento. So then they'd be in Sacramento, and then let's say Lacob, how terrible would it look if Lacob, if he sells to Lacob, and Lacob wouldn't have them continue to play in Sacramento. I don't know what happens there. Does Lacob get to axe the deal with Vivek because it's his team now? Or do they have to finish?
I don't know.
Or this would be crazy, and I don't know how long it would take the stadium to be built, right? Do you keep them in Sacramento while they're already there while you're building Oakland? And then you come back to Oakland?
I don't have a good answer for you, but what I would tell you is these are all things that you probably should have figured out before you said you were going to move to Vegas, before you said you were going to move to Sacramento. Like, these are all things that definitely should have been flushed out a long time ago. But again, as David Sampson put out there, as the article put, this has all just been done in a rush. They don't care about the actual details. They don't care that Vegas' stadium is kind of, it doesn't really make sense, and none of the renderings make any sense, and none of the renderings are accurate, and it doesn't seem like anybody actually wants a team in Vegas. None of that actually matters because they just wanted to say, it's done. Can we get our money now? That's it. And, you know, I mean, this is really a bigger example of how baseball just – it's not thriving at all in the 2020s here. It is just like, I don't understand how an organization or a league or whatever that is a capital B billion-dollar organization, maybe at one time was America's pastime, and it sure is looking like it right now. It is really looking like they're dealing like
past their time.
This is truly like ownership in the 60s, 70s, like the Baltimore Colts just moving teams in the middle of the night. This should not happen in today's era of sports where these franchises are worth billions of dollars and there's so much at stake. I just can't believe that they're operating like this is 1967.
Doesn't make any sense to me, but it does make sense that we should return and continue the conversation. Also some prop talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, it's time. This is fully loaded as well. Really good, really good. For the OGs will appreciate this one, and I am part of the OGs, I think, now. Especially when I hang out with Chris, Brendan, and Frankie. I'm
definitely yeah, then you're the OG.
It's time for Fair or Foul. Before we get into some Fair or Foul, again, Fieldhouse American Sports Pub, 5 to 7. Come kick it with your boys. The VIPs that are already locked up, happy that you won, and we will see you out there enjoying some bites, enjoying some basketball, okay? So everybody else, you make it as well, playing some shuffleboard, bunch of TVs, no NBA today.
Nope.
So you got to watch some college basketball.
All TVs will be locked in.
So why not do it while stuffing your face with some wings, buffalo, lemon pepper, maybe do a combo.
Combo. I don't know if they do combo.
There you go. Fair or foul. Let's start with number one.
Yeah.
J. Cole.
Jermaine.
And I'll try to abbreviate this as much as possible. So as far as rap beefs are concerned, this isn't the days of Biggie and Tupac, but there was a big three that J. Cole mentioned on a song with Drake.
Yep.
And he mentioned himself, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake. Kendrick Lamar, who hasn't really dropped too much music lately, pops up on a song with Future and says, bleep the big three, it's just Big Me. He goes on to send some shots at J. Cole and Drake as well. J. Cole, about a week goes by, maybe a little bit more than a week, J. Cole comes out with a project called Might Delete Later. After he drops the project, the last song on the project, he is throwing shots at Kendrick Lamar from everything about the fact that Kendrick doesn't drop that much. He even talks about Kendrick's arms being too short to box. Kendrick is a zont, yes, if you're curious. It goes super about 5'5 or 5'6, something like that. And everybody was on fire. Yeah. It was a surprise drop. Nobody saw it coming.
Yeah.
Then during J. Cole's music festival, Dreamville, he gets on stage and apologizes to Kendrick, calling what he did corny and something he is not proud of. And Chris, what is happening? We're losing recipes. I know.
What happened to this country?
What happened to the game I love?
Oh, my
we
God.
We used to be a proper country with proper rap beefs. Now you're apologizing? So we got people coming down Diana Taurasi's road for calling out Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Meanwhile, the rappers are apologizing to each other. Fair foul, dropping a diss tape, then apologize, and then said, if you still want to come at me,
that's okay.
That's okay.
It's fine.
What?
I get it.
What are we doing?
No, I'm right there with you.
Fair foul.
Incredibly foul. So foul. Like, I mean, if there's literally one thing you cannot do, unless you just completely step over the line, talk about somebody's, I mean, I was even going to say talk about somebody's wife, but as we know, like you said, these are not the days of Biggie and Pac.
Right.
Where literally the song starts with talking about somebody's girl.
I mean, well, shout out Pusha T. I mean, he let us know that Drake had a kid, besides that,
that's right.
Everything that J. Cole said was crazy. Inbounds
yes,
to me.
It was all inbounds.
It was all about rapping and some personal shots, but nothing about Kendrick's family
it's all game. Like, we know, these guys aren't really out here slanging.
Exactly.
You know?
This isn't Biggie and Tupac. We know none of y'all are really about that life, especially if you're including Drake.
We know these are just bars, right.
What are we talking about?
Like, yeah, there's way too much to lose for those guys. Him apologizing was, it's just like, it's... I could hear every real OG out there, their eyes rolling so far back into their skull. Yeah, you can't have this. You can't defend it. Like, you just cannot defend this. If J. Cole's your guy, if you're a modern rap, still got it guy, sorry, this is a huge L.
Question for you. I saw people saying that J. Cole essentially committed career suicide by doing this. Do you think he goes that far?
I don't think so, but it is ammunition that people will use against him in the future. He also just proved if this was a big three, my guy is Chris Bosh, for sure.
LeBron said he was the most important, you know, on his podcast and things like that. Simone, where are you at with this? And don't, come on.
No.
Don't start.
I mean, it's weak sauce, but yeah. I'm at a loss for words.
It
breaks my heart because I love Jay so much. And, you know, I think it's admirable that he wanted to be the bigger man and apologize. But, yeah, I mean, you should just let this ride out a little bit longer.
I just don't think it's that serious.
It's
like,
not.
Again, like,
it
if he was like,
it didn't require
I'm sending shooters at your head. Watch out every time you turn a corner.
Uh-oh.
Then it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Maybe apologize. Yeah. Say like, hey, you know, like, we're not trying to take it there. Rap, you know, definitely lost some icons by going there. I don't want to do that. But like you said, it's all in bounds. He literally said, you're short. You have small arms, so you can't even box because
You don't drop enough. Your stuff was overblown.
Okay, like, you know, it just wasn't that serious, and it definitely undercuts everything tough that was about this beef.
There you go. So foul on that one. The next one, foul. Angel Hernandez, who has been an umpire for years. It is foul. Had two terrible situations in this Blue Jays versus Yankees. The first one, or in whichever order. So at one point, he called a ball that was so easily a strike that it's just bad, right? It was just terrible. Yeah. It's a slider that falls right into the zone. Slider, curveball,
falls right into the zone.
He just calls it a ball. Also, the Yankees were hitting, and maybe this was his version of a makeup call. And basically, the pitcher on the Blue Jays, you have to look at the batter. You have to engage. The pitcher looks down as if he's fixing something. He's looking down at the ground, decides to pitch, pitches it anyway, and Angel Hernandez doesn't call the balk, right? And and you see Gleyber step out. The ball was out. On top of that, and it just gets called a strike. And Aaron Boone is just losing his mind. How does Angel Hernandez still have a job?
No idea.
I know it's foul, but at the same time, is there nothing? I don't understand how Major League Baseball understands that it's a joke at this point, but he gets employed.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. And I know it's similar with some of the NBA refs. I just don't understand how he's so bad that it's a full-on joke and Major League Baseball just lets him do his thing.
If you had a living and breathing commissioner, maybe they would do something about it. But unfortunately, baseball has whatever you want to call Rob Manfred. So, yeah, he's just going to continue to let Angel Hernandez blow these games. And, it'll be great. It'll be awesome.
Terrible. Terrible. And the last one, quickly, somebody posted that they were waiting a long time for Lauryn Hill, who is notorious at this, right? Notorious at not showing up to concerts, showing up late.
Yeah, so straight no-show.
Yeah, so Chris, you wanted to kind of frame this as far as Lauryn Hill or just artists in general?
I think it's a nuanced conversation of, so this person ended up waiting 2 hours. I believe this is at an HBCU. Lauryn Hill was going to do a tour of the HBCU campuses. And he tweets out, it starts at 8:30, the concert does. It's 8:55, keep y'all posted. And then it's just a thread of DJ just came out. DJ said Miss Lauryn Hill's right behind the stage. When do we think she... And it's like 2 hours of like updates of, are y'all ready? Okay, I'm hearing she's getting ready. Are y'all ready?
That's terrible.
And it's a... Any like
two, hey, y'all not pumped up enough.
Like it's like a Vegas trope of, yeah, like, hey, yeah, J. Cole's gonna be there at 1 o'clock or at midnight. They never show up until 3 a.m. That's almost like a given. But if you're going to a concert and somebody is 2 hours late, that's foul. Like, you can't do that. But then also, this is Miss Lauryn Hill, and she's not out there. It's very rare for her, even if there's a scheduled show, it's not a guarantee she's gonna show up. My question is this okay because you're Lauryn Hill?
You know what you're getting into.
And, like, are there, who are in that group of artists where it's like, even speaking for myself, if Frank Ocean's there, that man can make me wait until 1 a.m. I'm not leaving until I hear Frank's not in
the building. But she didn't show up, did she?
She did. She eventually showed up at 10:30, so 2 hours after the initial start time of the show.
Yeah, if you didn't show up at all, obviously that's foul. Right. But late, I mean... That's just kind of what it is. 8:30 is an early start for a concert anyway, it feels like to me.
Probably.
So I don't know if I've ever seen a headliner before 9.
It's a good point.
So I don't know. Maybe could this person be looking for some clout, left out that there was an opener? Who knows? But if you show up, that ain't that bad. I mean, I told you, and I don't know if this is different because it's a music festival, but you go to see certain artists at music festivals and they'll just no-show.
No-show, right.
They'll just no-show. All right, quickly, prop talk. Before we get into some crosstalk, Chris, I think I'm going with... I know where you're going, and I know we don't all want to pick the same person, but I'm going to go with Donovan Clingan, and I'm going to go with his rebounds, okay? That's pretty much it.
What's that number?
I don't even know if they're offering.
I also want to hear props about our night, for example.
Ooh,
I have, I'm taking the over on me getting 8 daps tonight.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of daps. I think I'll be able to hit it, though.
Now I'm going to not dap you just specifically.
To spite me, all of our listeners.
Simone. I mean, 8's a lot. Like, you're going to need a lot of audience participation.
8 daps, but Simone, let it be known. We got the basketball side of things,
too. We'll leave it at 8.
There you go.
It can push.
Also, since we're in here really quick, get me down for, I'll take the over on Mr. Newton getting his 5.5 assists, please.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm going Donovan Clingan, who is the other big man. He's 7'2". It's going to be a battle of the big men in this game. I'm going with 7.5 rebounds over.
What about you?
I cannot believe that that's...
I can't believe that either. Yeah. Not on the perimeter too much.
Do you have any fun props you want to throw in like Simone did?
Like Simone did?
Yeah.
I will
wing.
Say... Well, I'm going to eat
a ton
of wings.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. For me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's light work. That's light work. But I am going to try to, when I go, I act like Gordon Ramsay. I'm going to try multiple things on the menu. You know, I like to act like I'm a
like
big
a
deal.
Tapas.
Oh, boy.
Over under 2.5 photos taken.
Of your food?
No, of people with me. Or photos in general.
I'm taking the under, please.
Wow. Hey, wow. Everybody, make sure I hit.
Photos.
That's
with
messed up.
You said 2.5?
2.5.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll have one.
My first outing in Sacramento.
Non-station ones. Like, not like, you know, our street teams. Like, hey, Alan, pose.
No.
People saying, hey, Alan, would love to take a picture with you.
Yes. Okay. 2.5.
That's
the requested photo.
That's light work. And put the demon at 4.5. Put the demon at 4.5. And the goblins at 1.5. There you go. Chris?
I'm going to go with my prop is Zach Edey. Under 24 points. That just feels like way too much. I know they're going to rely on him a lot, but yeah. I just think Clingan is a legitimate other big.
That he has not had to face.
Yeah, he has not had to face somebody who's actually 7 feet as well. And, you know, it'll be an interesting night for Zach Edey as there's a lot of talk about what he's going to be as a pro, if he even is a pro. And I think his performance tonight against another 7-footer will go a long way in whatever his evaluation is going to be. So I'm going to take the under on Zach Edey. And then as a fun one, let's see here. I don't know what. I'll go. Man, I don't know what to take. Can I
shuffleboard record?
Oh yeah, actually, I'm 0.5 losses.
There you go.
In shuffleboard, definite smashing the under.
Crosstalk when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Whitey Gleason joins us, and he'll be in the building tonight. I just keep saying everybody's going to be there. Dave's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to. I have to be there.
They plan to be there.
Simone said she's going to have 8 daiquiris. It's like, wow.
Daps, not
I better
dax.
Go make sure everybody's okay.
8 daiquiris. 8 daiquiris. There you go. What flavors? There you dax. Go.
I don't even know if they serve those there.
Yeah, I feel like I was watching something. So. With daiquiris in general, which is funny. Who's out in these streets getting a daiquiri besides vacation?
I've literally never seen anyone order a daiquiri.
Have you ever seen anyone order a daiquiri in the wild?
I'll ask my girlfriend is a bartender. Yeah. I will ask her if anyone has ever ordered a daiquiri.
There's no way. I've never seen it.
Pina colada, man.
There's other ones. Daiquiri, pina colada. Drinks that just no one drinks unless... Right. On vacation.
A Mai Tai, maybe?
No, people
you
drink,
can get down with Mai Tais.
Yeah.
But those two are...
Okay,
those two,
y'all are
no,
crazy.
No. Well, Simone, who said that?
Somebody.
No, yeah,
no. Somebody,
I've
not
seen
me.
It. I've seen it in
right
the
there.
Wild before as we are joined by one Whitey Gleason. And Whitey, before we get going here, we have
too
some...
Too late, we're already going, baby.
We are already going. We want to play some sound by Zach Geloff, who was interviewed by Jake Gaden of CBS 13. And this... was pretty interesting. He, by the way, Zach Geloff, he got drafted in 2021. He's already in the big leagues. Dude's a stud. This is what he had to say about Sutter Health.
They definitely need a lot of upgrades to the clubhouse and cages and all that stuff. I say it was below average AAA, but you know, I'm sure they'll take care of it, I guess, by next year.
I'm sure they'll take care of
that
it.
Is,
I guess.
That was a little bit surprising to me. Because I think the biggest thing that got me with that statement is how much people have been saying whether they've just the perception of the Coliseum, and we know it's not great, the troughs, everything like that, the perception of the Coliseum and how everybody, and we saw texters, callers, and sack chatters as well saying, I mean, it's got to be better than the Coliseum right now. And this is a dude who's been in both.
Did you hear what Bo Mill said about it?
No.
Friday? Mm-mm. He was asked about this, and he said, that's too bad. He said, I like being in the Coliseum. The whole difference is, yeah, the Coliseum, by major league standards, it's way down at the bottom. But it's a major league facility.
Yeah.
And this one here, and this isn't, I'm not taking shots at anything having to do with Sacramento's efforts to get a team here. It's a minor league park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
People get mad when I start throwing that around. But that's
intimate.
Yeah.
It's intimate.
It's the most intimate.
It's the most intimate.
And that's fine. You know, it's a nice place to watch a game. Yeah. But, you know, the things we're talking about are a lot of it is stuff we don't see. And, well, they did a lot of improvements. Yeah, but I was reading somewhere some of the players, and to the point that Zach Geloff just made, a lot of the players are like, oh man. So like when we go to the show next year, we're still gonna be in AAA.
Yeah. You
know, that's what I was thinking is the biggest part is it's like it's even if the Coliseum isn't great, it's still it's huge. I mean,
you know,
it's
Johnny
massive.
Dosko, the long time
voice.
Yeah,
I've heard the name, yeah.
He used to always talk about players and he'd say, well, you know, so and so he's not afraid of the third deck. Because in the majors, you got that deck up there. It's like a big difference. You know, I don't know if you ever played on a stadium like that, but you know, it's a big difference because it's the major leagues. Mm-hmm. In our park here, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not a major league park. So, you know, oh, well, it's a bad, we're going to prove that we can do it. I get all that, but I understand where players are going, oh, man, we're going to be playing at AAA park again.
I was just surprised, and there's more sound, and it was a great, great job by Jake getting out there because – none of them sound juiced. None of them sound excited about this. And, you know, these are the guys that are actually going to be on the field. I don't know how much of a say they have in it. And we know the Players Association, I had a source tell me that the whole idea of the Players Association.
Sources again.
Well,
The
who idea
told you?
Stuff. The idea of the Players Association, it is there a possibility of them not signing off on this? And basically they said, for Sacramento to do what they did and have the press conference, they're going to get there. There's no worry that that the Players Association could stop anything. So, and I don't know how much of a say the A's players had in it versus the Players Association. So the whole thing is fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's many layers. There aren't a lot of layers to the ballpark, but there are a lot of layers to this.
It's intimate. It's the best ticket in sports.
That's
all
fine. That's a good thing.
It's the best ticket in sports.
But it's a great place to watch a game.
It's like random small things, though. Like, I mean, I'm no baseball purist or anything, but from what I understand, I mean, I heard them even saying things like, there's no overhang over the bullpen. You know, like they're going to be sitting there in the sun, and I guess that's not to regulation standard. Like, it's just there's so many. I mean, everything needs to be upgraded in that stadium. I mean, I talked about it last week. You look at the home field view or the home plate view, looks beautiful. You got the bridge, you got all this stuff.
Yes.
But if you look at it from the helicopter over the stadium view and you see the staging area that's in the outfield, it looks like a minor league ballpark to your point. Like, it's nowhere near any of the specs that these guys are even at a base layer accustomed to. And yeah, even though the Coliseum's a dump, it's significantly more prepared for these kind of things than the AAA ballpark is.
You guys probably saw it. I think it was Buster Olney on Friday. He tweeted that people around baseball, he didn't say the owners, but he said people in major league organizations are just embarrassed by the way this whole thing is going. Not Sacramento specifically, but just the way the A's have handled this whole saga. It's like, what? They're going to do what now?
29-0. 29-0.
And what did you think of the no-hitter last week, by the way, Mr. Baseball?
It was incredible. One of the best things that I didn't watch. It was just
Chris doesn't like no-hitters.
I know.
It's the worst.
You know what it is? You know what it's going to be?
Refund.
Being at Sutter Health, other teams are going to think, oh, man, this is fun, right? As a one-off series.
It's like the Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, right? It's cool in a vacuum, and we get on out of there. But actually playing in it every day, I think A's fans.
They're getting zero free agents.
You know, they played in Buffalo. Who was it? The Blue Jays had to play in Buffalo a couple years ago. That's a minor league facility.
Yeah.
They made the best of it because COVID, you know, the government of Canada said, you can't play in here. So they made the best of it.
Yeah, you're always going to make the best of it. Whitey, quickly before we get out of here, and we see you later tonight, what did you think about the the Kings?
That's not confirmed, by the way. I'll give you Brendan Nunes.
He's planning to be there.
I'll give you Brendan Nunes. I'm going to try to swing by.
If you're giving us a Brendan Nunes, I'll see you tomorrow. But
Or not at all.
Kings, Nets, any initial takeaways? Or, hey, you just took care of business?
Yes, took care of business.
Yep.
BTO.
That is exactly what they had
Bachman
to do.
Turner overdrive, taking care of business. Okay.
That is exactly what they had to do, and that's exactly what Whitey and Mr. Draper, Kyle Draper, will do during the drive, guys, coming up next. Until tomorrow, see you tonight. Don't miss it. Styles and Watkins, secure the bag, light the beam.